So, I wanted to make one extra comment on 3.6. 3.6 is pretender verse, alright? Karmendriyani Sanyamya, Ya Aste Manasasmaran, Indriyatan Vimuratma, Mithyachara Subhutate. There is one video made about Srila Prabhupada. The title is Srila Prabhupada in Juhu. So, Srila Prabhupada preached in Bombay, and especially he made his base in Bombay in Juhu. We see when Srila Prabhupada established first ISKCON temple in the west, that is Los Angeles. First ISKCON center is different, but first ISKCON temple is Los Angeles. Looks, yeah. It was first property which ISKCON got, Prabhupada got it. So, and that became ISKCON's world headquarters in the western countries. And later we see in 70s, this is 68, that property they got up. So in 1970, late 69 also I think. So Prabhupada, he stayed there for a long time, some 3 months, something like that. And he established the standards, what should be temple standards. And he called all GBCs, temple presidents, and told them, you come and see here, like that. So, eventually he went on to install Radha Krishna deities. He called them Rukmini Dwarkadish. Not Radha Krishna, Rukmini Dwarkadish. So Srila Prabhupada prayed when he came to India in 71, I will build a palace for you in Bombay. So, and of course there is also Prabhupada praying to Radha Ras Bihari to stay here, I will build a palace for you, like that. So generally the first one is, it is told that Krishna was, Dwarkadish was asking, why you are going from here? So I want to build a palace for you in Bombay, like that, in India. So Prabhupada, he made his base in Bombay. He considered Bombay is very important city in India. If you see present scenario, Bombay is important still. Bangalore has emerged as a very important city in India now. So he made his place in Juhu. I was just seeing that video, so that video is more of memories by Giriraj Maharaj, because he was president for a long time there. And when Prabhupada was in Bombay, he was always there. So and I was seeing that video clippings. One thing I noticed, it was really very good observation, means realization. Prabhupada, in that video also, how this Guru Puja was introduced. Generally in the temple, one should not offer, in front of deities, one should not offer obeisances also to anyone. So Guru is exceptional, and what to speak of worshipping someone. So that's why when we want to do Tulasi Puja, we close the altar. But Prabhupada, he introduced this Guru Puja system. It is there in Bhagavad Gita, Acharya Upasana. Acharya should be worshipped. But generally it is not done in front of deities. We see there was worship of, there is in Melukote, there is a deity of Ramanujacharya. I think two of them deities. One is in Melukote and one is in Sri Perumbudur, where we So where we went recently when we went to Kanchipuram, no? Birthplace of Ramanujacharya. Those two deities are personally, they were made in presence of Ramanujacharya. Personally he gave them to worship that, to his disciples. So worshipping Acharya is an age-old culture. It is not a new thing. But that was not done in front of the deity. We see that in Melukote also and in Sri Parambudha. There is a separate temple for, within the temple courtyard compound, there is a separate temple for Ramanujacharya. So, anyway, that was not my main topic of discussion today. Why, what is the significance of Guru Puja? There it is, in that video it is described. Then later there are some conversation, lecture and all those things, you know, different things. Prabhupada sits on the terrace and he was meeting guests in the evening. So all those clippings are there. One thing I was observing in the face of Prabhupada, there is no pretension at all in his face. So no pretension, nothing inside and outside, he is just one person. So that is a special qualification, special characteristics. Srila Prabhupada, one of the special characteristics. So any pure devotee is like that, and we can really observe that in Srila Prabhupada. So that is a point which I wanted to make. So sadhu has to be like that. In this Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he defined sadhus. In this world, materialistic men have two natures, something inside and something outside. So, but sadhu is one inside and outside. He doesn't have, that is called as double nature, no? Double nature, that is, in ordinary language, right? So they don't have a double nature, inside one and outside one. They are just straightforward. So this is a situation. That is what I wanted to say. And then another comment in 3.10, Prabhupada says sacrifices, by performing sacrifices one can be happy in this world and go back to God. And we saw sacrifice means it is varnashrama. So we are discussing. So from, if we establish varnashrama in the society, we can relatively be happy. And in the end, we can prepare ourselves to go back to Godhead. So, in Kali Yuga, just to tolerate threefold miseries is so difficult it is. It is too much. Severe it is. Adi Atmika, Adi Bhautika and Adi Daivika. So overall Kali Yuga is more miserable than any other yugas. Material world itself is miserable. And especially Kali Yuga is most miserable. So, and our tolerance level is very limited. No tolerance at all. You see, people, some small disease comes, immediately they put so many medicines in their body. Especially these allopathic medicines, they are very hazardous, very dangerous. And then that gives so many other diseases. Someone is joking. If you are suffering from cold, If you go to doctor, it will get cured in 7 days. If you don't go to doctor, just leave it, it will get cured in 1 week. Understood? But the problem with going to doctor is that you have to pay the price of taking those medicines. Later, it is so dangerous, these medicines are. So people don't have tolerance level, therefore they suffer more, because in this world solutions are here attentively, Haribo. In this world, solutions are the cause of so many problems, therefore they become so many cause of problems. What to speak of people in general, you know. Even small children, they don't have tolerance level. Little also no tolerance level. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told, Trinadapi Shuni Chena Tharorapi, we should be more tolerant than like a tree. Somebody says something, some senior devotee, these fellows get disturbed. So from basically what we can understand is that Kali Yuga, there is no tolerance level at all. So therefore the experience of pain is severe it is in Kali Yuga. That's why today morning we were eating coconut pulp, me and Giridhar Gopinath. So sorry for not sharing with you all. But I am sharing the experience of that now. Sorry for not sharing with you all. So, because of my health problem, I am taking one tender coconut. So, coming to the point that we were he broke that off and we were eating the pulva, and I was telling him while eating, what a gift of Krishna, I was telling. Such a nice things, you know, Krishna has given. This is one example, coconut is, you know, so nice fruits. Milk products are so nourishing. So curd, buttermilk, milk, or you can make so many, you know, hundreds and thousands of items from that milk. So, right? So it is so nice, Krishna's gift is, but how these idiot rascals have spoiled everything now in modern society. Demons. So we don't have words to condemn them. So such rascals they are. So clear is understanding what we are saying. So we don't have words to condemn these rascals. They have spoiled the society so much. We were just discussing, if we establish Varnashrama, what will be, you know, so nice. We can relatively be happy. Ultimately, in material world, there is no happiness. But relatively, we can be happy and prepare ourselves to go back to God and become God conscious very fast. So it is very nice thing. So all these things have to be understood here. So we were discussing on 14th verse, and I was mentioning that how without Varnashrama, if Varnashrama is not there, there will be food problem, there will be scarcity. So we will not be able to attain necessities of life. Now Krishna is giving example of Anna. See, all the necessities of life we get, you have to understand little in broader sense also. Here 14th verse specifically focuses on food. We have to understand it in broader sense also. All the necessities we get by performing sacrifices, by pleasing the demigods, you know, which was told in the 10th verse. And 11th and 12th, 11th, 12th and 13th, Krishna, he said how they become thieves and sinners if we don't perform sacrifices to please the demigods. In other words, there it is told about acknowledging them, demigods. So, acknowledging what they have given to us. So that gratitude, what we do by performing sacrifices, we are expressing our gratitude towards the Lord. For instance, devotees, they, because of their compact love for Krishna, they offer everything to Krishna and take. What is the meaning of that? they want to express their gratitude towards Krishna that you have given all these things. But of course, this gratitude, expression of gratitude is very, you know, very, it's not a very elevated consciousness. It's not due to compact love it is. Accepting gratitude is because he has given to something to us, therefore we want to, you know, that is not a highest platform of love actually. It is not compact love actually. But as a human being, at least we should be on that level, at least on that level. Otherwise we will become thieves and sinners, that's all. Gratitude, that sense of gratitude, it's not a very big thing it is. So like, you know, disciple should be, should have gratitude towards Guru for what he has given, the knowledge which he gives. So all, you know, Gurukulis should be respectful to the teachers. They should have gratitudes. But this is not something great it is. Because what Guru gives to disciple cannot be repaid at all. Therefore, disciple eternally remains indebted to Guru. So that is important thing. He laid down his life. We will come to that point in 17th verse. So he lays down his life for the sake of Guru's mission. But this expression of gratitude, sense of gratitude, is just the beginning of that. So that is just on basic human platform. It's right or not? If someone gives you, you feel gratefulness, right or not? So that is just on a basic human platform. If you want love, compact love, means it is very elevated. It's so even one, you know, that verse is Ashlishava Padaratam Pinastumam Adarshanam. So in this way, coming back to this point, demigods or Supreme Lord is supplying necessities. To have some sense of gratitude by performing sacrifices, by following Dharma, is just the beginning of human life. So now these idiot rascals, they have become so much demons. What to speak of thieves and sinners? They have become so much demons, they don't even understand that these are all supplied by the Supreme Lord. They are using their God-given gift, their intelligence, to say that there is no God. So, very demonic. So, this point, just to elaborate more, how food problem is due to scarcity of the food, famine, is due to not following dharma or not having the system of varnashram dharma, is Prabhupada, it becomes very clear by this example. Like Srila Prabhupada, I often give this example and I have given to you all. Anyone remembers what is that? Srila Prabhupada was in Russia. I'll give you some small hint. For what?
His disciples went to purchase some fruits in the stable. There was a long queue for that purchase.
I give an example, often I have in my lectures, of Srila Prabhupada, from Prabhupada's life, which makes it clear this point that without Varnashrama there will be scarcity of food. If there is no Varnashrama, there will be scarcity of food. So Shyamasundara Prabhu went, you know, in 1972 Srila Prabhupada was called by Professor Kotowski, you know, Russia, that you remember that? I often spoke that. Professor Kotowski, he invited Srila Prabhupada, and anyone who is missing, some sound is coming. This fellow suddenly he reacts. Think and react. Think and react. That is his nature. You should think and okay. Yeah, coming back to the point that what I was saying. So Kotaski had invited Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, that was a different thing whole altogether. I give that example also often because Prabhupada, he repeatedly spoke, quoted that incident of meeting with Kotaski. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu went out in the morning, came back in the evening. Prabhupada asked, where you had been? I went to purchase some vegetables and fruits, he says. Why so long? There was a long queue, he says. Why you are laughing? Any reason? This. Are I am talking about different shots. Why you are laughing now? From that we understand, if there is, actually it's a, fruits and vegetables are not the main part of Arnashram Dharma. But I'm just giving example. Even from the food point of view, in Varnashrama, food grains and milk was given prominence. So, growing food grains. Grains and milk was given prominence. That should be there. Vegetable and flower, nowadays they have so much of this vegetable garden. Making vegetable, growing vegetable. They make all this green. What is that? Green?
Greenhouses.
And grow vegetables and all kind of things, fruits. What is there? Horticulture is for growing fruits, something? Which, what is this department? Plantation is basically fruits, no? Right or not? Basically it is fruits, no? Plantation means. Huh?
Everything.
What is there in that? Plantation means? You don't have crops as plants, no? No? You grow plantation. So basically it is fruits and maybe flowers also, I think. Flowers also. I don't know. Horticulture. They have in agriculture university, they have a department. So anyway, coming back to the point. These agriculture universities, they spoiled Indian agriculture. They are also contributed in a destruction of Vedic farming. No? Agriculture university. Such a rascal, idiot, irrational thing it is, you know. Because previously they just learned farming from their parents or father. Now you have to go to university to learn that. What is this nonsense? And on that they spoiled, they made all this insecticides, pesticides, fertilizers by their research and modern technology. This hybridization is another major negative contribution of agriculture university. So very bad means they have spoiled everything in that. So fruits and whatever, vegetables, grains, they don't have any nutrition and there is no taste. One reason why I don't like to eat fruits is there is no taste in them, actually, just no taste at all. So you purchase anything, you know, just waste of money at it, actually. Often. Or if you want to eat fruits, maintain that standard of eating fruits, like some of the devotees, they do. They don't take breakfast, they will only take fruits. For that you have to buy lots of fruits, from that you will get something this much like that. So, and maintaining them and all. Generally they go from, what is that? From unripened state to complete spoiled state, you know, decayed state. In between stage is not there at all. That is the condition. So these are all contributors. They are all representatives of Putana, Hiranyakashipu and all these universities. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur compared all these organized religions, institutes, institutions, educational, we can call them educational institutions. They are all Putana. So they promise to give the real thing, truth. But they are disguised, just like Putana comes disguised. So they are disguised representatives of untruth and falsity. So falsity basically. Therefore they are compared to Putana. Putana comes, you know, disguises herself and comes. So coming back to, so this is Russia, and there is one more conversation. Guru Kesha, Russia is importing its food grains now. Prabhupada. So why can they not produce sufficient? Such a big country, Prabhupada is saying. Then Guru Kesha. And Eastern Europe, which is almost communist, gets all its supplies from Prabhupada. No, what is their explanation? Russia is the biggest country. Guru Kesha, land. Harishavari. The reason was that there was no rain, Prabhupada. Then you have to depend on rain. And when we say Parjanya Danna Sambhava, and Yajna Bhavati Parjanya, that means rascal, you take one side, Ardha Kukuta Nyaya, cut the chicken in half and separate the mouth. It is expensive. And keep the rare side. You will get X. So this is Ardha Kukuta Nyaya. The rascal does not know that if you separate the mouth, there will be no egg. So this is conversation of Srila Prabhupada in Nellore 76. Nellore is here in Andhra. Now it is separated from Telangana. Andhra is. So, understood what Prabhupada is? What is the argument of Srila Prabhupada? Why he is giving example of this, comparing with Ardha Kukuta Nyaya? Why he is comparing with Ardha Kukuta Nyaya? Why is comparing with Ardha Kukuta Nyaya? Tell me.
And accepting the first line that a man won't be Bhutani, that man will come because of you.
They are not accepting.
But half my Vajanyar will be somehow like that. Then Yagya you have to do. That thing is not entering.
But they are not told that, no? How you can make a relation with this verse to Russians, because they have never got training in Bhagavad Gita, no? Yeah, Prabhupada is quoting that. But how it is connected to the Russians, I am saying. That is what is the question. No? Prabhupada is saying Parjanya Danda Sambhava, and he is giving Ardha Kukuta Nyaya as comparison. What is the relation with Russians?
Russians, they are thinking rain is not coming, so we are not able to produce.
Yeah. So why Prabhupada is comparing that situation with Ardha Kukuta Nyaya and...
But they...
Especially because Russians are communists, you know, they are against God, they are atheists, they will not perform sacrifice, right or not? So therefore there will be no rain. So you want to preach communism but still want rain, how it is possible? That is the point here, argument here. This is Ardha Kukuta Nyaya. You don't want to be obedient to God. You don't want religion in the name of communism. But still you want rain. How it is possible? This is Ardha Kukuta Nyaya. This is Prabhupada's argument. You know Ardha Kukuta Nyaya? I read, no? Just now. So, this is another topic which we have to teach boys. Nyaya, Nyaya. So many ideas are there. Time is not there. Time is not there, but boys also don't have time. They have to become tapasvis so that learn more. Right? Get up early, chant your rounds, save time to learn more. But they are not learning, they are only doing strike now. Alright? Want to do only strike against senior devotees. So, text 15. Karma brahmodbhavam viddhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasma sarvagatam brahma nityam yatne pratishtitam. regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. So, here, this is continuation of the previous verse, right or not? Annad bhavanti parjanyo, parjanyadhyam samvayajnyad bhavati parjanyo, yajna karma samudbhava, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi, brahmakshara samudbhavam, tasma sarvagatam brahma nityam yajna pratishtitam. So, here, in this verse, two times Brahma word comes. Three times word comes. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasma sarvagatam brahma nityam yajne pratishtiram. So, three times Brahma word comes. But this word Brahma doesn't give only one meaning here. It gives two meanings. This word Brahma is used in two ways in this verse. First two times it is used in one way, and second two times it is used in second way, another way. So, now coming to the point that I was telling. You know, I was telling in 2.47 when we were discussing prescribed duties, we were discussing what is prescribed duty, what we mean by this term prescribed duty. First time it came. It came before that also. I don't know. I must have discussed that in Swadharma in 2.31, I think, right? Prescribed duty. So, prescribed duty. Who prescribes? I was discussing. Who prescribes? Who prescribes? Vedas. So, Vedas prescribe our duty, therefore prescribed duty. How they are prescribed? What is the method?
According to Guna.
So, therefore prescribed duties means it is Varnashram Dharma. Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. So, according to our Gunas, so prescribed duty is prescribed. Okay, coming to the point here, Prabhupada, he says, he links here, it is there, you see, here in the purport it says, regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, in the translation it is told. So therefore they are prescribed duties. This is prescribed duty. These prescribed in the Vedas. So, when Krishna says, karma brahmodvavam vidhi, that means karma is born of Vedas. Here Brahma word is used for Vedas, right or not? So Brahma from the Vedas, you see Prabhupada has translated it as. Again, second time that Brahma comes, Brahmakshara Samudbhavam. The Brahma is called, again, the Vedas. First Brahma from the Vedas, and second is the Vedas. Basically it is Vedas. The Vedas, Brahma means. Third time when Brahma word comes, it is used as transcendence. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. So, tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yajne pratishtitam. So, their transcendence, if you read in the verse, purport, you see, in the translation, consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in the acts of sacrifice. So, all pervading transcendence means it is Supreme Lord Krishna. So, he is also Brahma. Later, he is called as Parabrahma. So, Brahma word has many meanings. Brahma word has many meanings. Previously, where it had come in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma word? Anyone know, remembers? Before this third chapter, 3.15 verse.
Brahma Nirvana 2.17.
Yeah, there it is called. There also Brahma word, Brahmi Stiti is also, Esha Brahmi Stiti. Brahmi is derivation of Brahma only. So there also that word is used in two ways. 2.72. One is used for indicating the living entity. Basically it is one sense only, because Brahmi is a transformation of Brahma. So there it can be implicit in that is, it is used for living entities, those who have attained perfection, Brahmi Stiti. So Jiva Bhuta and Brahma Bhuta, I was explaining that. And then they are for spiritual platform also. And abode of the Lord is also described as Brahma. Brahma Nirvana Vichati, or liberation, or attaining spiritual platform. So later in the fourth chapter again, Brahma word will be used later. Like that, it is used in many ways. So I don't know. I think it is used in five sense. I have to still clarify that. So Brahma is word used for Supreme Lord. It is used for living entities. It is used for Vedas. It is used for spiritual platform. It is used for liberated souls. Anyway, that is Jivas. Liberated souls only. And it is used for sacrifices also. Sacrifices are also called as Brahma in the fourth chapter. That verse is there, no? Brahma agno, Brahmano hutam, Brahmaiva tena gantavya, Brahmana, like that. Brahma, Brahma word comes there in that verse. How it starts?
Brahmarpanam,
Brahma havir, Brahma agno, Brahmano hutam, Brahmaiva tena gantavyam, Brahma karma, samadhina. So, that is 4.24. So there Brahma, Brahma word comes. Basically it is there Brahma word is used for sacrifices. Here Yajna word is used, right, for sacrifices. And Karma word is used for sacrifices here. Karma Brahma Bhavati. Yajna, like that. So here in this verse basically it is used for Supreme Lord and it is used for Vedas. Supreme Lord is eternally situated in the acts of sacrifice. So he receives. So here, first time actually, in this section, when Krishna is describing the principle of yajna, first time Supreme Lord is indicated here. How? There is one word, param, before this, but that can be interpreted in a different way. They will give highest facilities for those who perform sacrifices. You know, demigods can give. They means demigods here. So, it can be understood in different way also. Literal meaning of that. But that also word indicated. But here it is more, little more explicit than. This is also implicit, but more explicit than there. So that how sacrifices are meant for Supreme Lord Vishnu. You got the point why I am saying this point? From Prabhupada purports, from Yajna Arthat Karma Nanyatra, Yajna Vai Vishnuhu, like that, you know. From Prabhupada's explanation, for us it is clear that Yajna is meant for Supreme Lord. Again and again I was telling, no, Prabhupada is pounding us into our head that it is meant for Krishna, 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 worship Krishna, worship Krishna, worship Krishna, worship Krishna. So, in this way, we have to... first time here in Bhagavad Gita, in last few, in this section where Yajna is being told, so how Yajna is meant for Lord Krishna is being described here. This is the point. And then, in the first line of the purport, Prabhupada, he says, that is first line, Yajna Karma, it begins with Yajna Karma, purport?
Yajna Karma.
Okay. So, first line of the purport, Prabhupada is telling the essence of this verse. And he is linking that to this verse to ninth verse. Ninth verse, anyone remembers? Yadnyartat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samaja. That is also important verse which has to be memorized. So, so he is linking what he says. Yadnyartha karma or the necessity of work for the satisfaction of Krishna only is more expressly stated in this verse. So, you got the idea, right? I was telling, no? Here more expressly it is stated how it is meant for Krishna. So, yajna can word, yajnyarthat karmana anyatra, when Krishna says yajnyarthat, it can be, so yajna as sacrifice, it should be done as a sacrifice. Or it should be, yajna should be sacrifice, it should be done as sacrifice, like that one can write. But Prabhupada, he writes, work should be done for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, yajna, because, so here in this verse Krishna is telling that. So, what is that? Brahma, tasmat, sarvagatam brahma, nityam yajne, pratishtitam. So, that is the line, no? In the verse. That is the line, no? Tasmat, sarvagatam brahma, nityam yajne, pratishtitam. Okay. So, then, coming to the point that, what I was supposed to do after this. Okay, so now karma is, we were discussing, karma is assigned by the Vedas according to one's quality or guna. Therefore, it becomes prescribed duty. So, Prabhupada explains that. Who will read that? If we have to work, because in this verse, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi, it is told. So that is explained here. If we have to work.
If we have to work for the satisfaction of the Yajna Purusha.
Now, I have already discussed this, that prescribed duty means it is prescribed in the Vedas. I was indicating that time that this is told in the 3rd chapter, 15th verse. It is told here actually. So prescribed duties means they are assigned by Vedas. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Okay, read.
If we have to work for the satisfaction of the Yajna Purusha, Vishnu, then we must find out the direction of work in Brahman or the transcendental Vedas. The Vedas are therefore...
So, why Vedas are also called Brahman? Because they are transcendental. This little bit, it is contradictory to what Krishna said in 2.45. No, what he says in 2.45? Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nisraigunya Bhavarjana. So, Vedas deal only with three modes, but here it is told Brahma, they are transcendental.
There Karmakanda section, Krishna is basically referring to Karmakanda section.
But most of the Vedas is Karmakanda only. That's why Krishna is telling Traigunya Vishaya Veda, right or not? That is the meaning, no? Vedas only deal with three modes of material energy.
But Upanishads...
That is very insignificant portion, and Krishna is telling Traigunya Vishaya Veda.
And then Lord himself comes here, and he acts in a way that people get bewildered by him, but he is transcendental.
Like that... Vedas deal, but there should be some proper explanation of your point. You are making comparative analysis.
Similarly, Vedanta Krishna himself is fully transcendental, but it is dealing on three subjects.
This is the point. They are transcendental, Vedas are transcendental, because they have, we'll discuss that, they have transcendental origin. We will discuss that a little bit here. I'll come to this point a little later. In this purpose only we'll have to discuss. In this verse only. When I'll talk about the origin of the Vedas. So, therefore, but they deal with material nature. But their goal also is transcendence. They are of the nature of transcendence. But they deal with the material nature. And their goal is transcendence. Right or not? Ultimately, goal of Varnashrama is transcendence. So that's why they are Brahma. They are Brahman. And here we must find out the direction. So next statement, you see, Vedas are therefore codes of working directions. What are Vedas? What are Vedas? They are codes of working directions. Now people do not know what to be done, what not to be done. Pravritim cha, nivritim cha, janana vidurasura. Therefore modern society is asuric. What is good, bad, good, what is bad, they do not know. What is dharma and what is adharma, they do not know. Why? Because they don't take directions from Vedas. So, in this way, Vedas are codes of working directions. Now that often I quote that, you know, they have this rascal idiot Nike company. Yeah? Nike. You know Nike?
Nike.
Nike or Nick, how you will say?
Nike.
So what they say? Just do it, they say. Huh? Just do and suffer from AIDS. Huh? Right? If you just do, then suffer from AIDS. No? Right? That means I am talking about illicit sex. Just smoke, you will suffer from cancer. I just do it, like that they say. If you just do it, you will suffer from all these things. You have to be careful. You should know what to be done and what not to be done based on the Vedas. So, yeah, to read.
Anything performed without the direction of the Vedas is called vikarma, or unauthorized or sinful work.
So we discussed capricious work, right or not? Prescribed duty is capricious work and inaction, we were discussing. And in the fourth chapter also there will be discussion. Karma, akarma and vikarma. So this vikarma is being defined. Sinful activity. What is sinful activity? Prescribed duty is pious activity. It is according to authorization of Vedas. According to direction of the Vedas. That which is not done according to direction of the Vedas is sinful activity. It is vikarma. It is punishable. Yeah.
Therefore, one should always take direction from the Vedas to be saved from the reaction of work. As one has to work in ordinary life by the direction of the state, one similarly has to work under direction of the supreme state of the Lord.
Now you see, coming to this point, now presently direction of the state is, although Prabhupada is giving this example, he is giving example, but he doesn't mean on principle that we have to follow the state actually. So, because presently the state law and God's law is different. Therefore, Islamic state people, what they are doing? We want to establish Islamic law, he says. They say. So, at least they are doing something. They are raising their issues. But you people, you are not doing anything actually. What you are all doing for establishing the laws of God? Sorry. Some preaching you are all doing. Little bit of some 4 or 5 group laws you are handling, little bit you are doing book distribution, some youth preaching. What you are doing? You establish the laws of the state, laws of God, sorry, Vedas. What you are all doing? So? Oh, Priya Govinda, Prabhu wants us to take weapons like Islamic State people. No, do some non-cooperation movement, agitation movement. Now immediate is, we have to do right to act agitation. So, you remember I was discussing about this? Yeah? I'll just put up a word. Anyways, we have to discuss this because we have to understand Bhagavad Gita and Bhakti Shastri, you know, how to implement that in practical life. So, coming to the point, you want to speak to them or what is it? No need. So, why they have come and all? Should ask in our, when they, someone steps in our property, that has different, there is different reasons for that. One reason is security reason. So, anyway, coming to the point. Coming to the point that what we were doing, I told I want to write to Maharaj and other devotees who are involved in Varnashrama and Gurukula projects regarding right to education act, how it is stumbling block for establishing Gurukula and establishing broader Varnashrama system. You understood why it is stumbling block to broader Varnashrama system? I wrote it in a little provocative language. It is a killer of Gurukula system and it is a great stumbling block to establish broader Varnashrama, like that in my mail. So why it is stumbling block, right to education act is for establishing broader Varnashrama?
Puts everyone, all the children into the system of
Yeah. So basically we cannot divide them into different varnas, you know, students, right or not? They'll be just put into all this so-called and labor work, trained as a labors for industrial society. And second point is, second point is this one, farming, cow production, krishi, goraksha, vanijam. Because any social system, economy and food security is very, very important. Economic security or economic stability is very, very important. Therefore, Chanakya wrote Arthashastra. So, economic stability is very, very important. So, you see now many countries of the world, they are, you know, importing, exporting, all this kind of things. They are dependent on oil. If there is no oil, their food will be stopped. So, these idiot fellows, leaders, they are not understanding that. So how self-sufficiency is very much important, you know, aspect, most important aspect of economy of the nation. So we have to give all these guidelines to the society. One more thing I forgot to point out yesterday. So like now many leaders and the think tank of the world discusses about scarcity. We have to give them direction how we can overcome scarcity based on the previous verse. So Prabhupada wanted ISKCON devotees to guide the world, guide the society, guide the world. Brahmana means they are ideological guides here. We have to give them direction. So scarcity of the food can be solved by performing sacrifices, establishing Varnashrama. Automatically all the food issue will be. Now coming back to this point that which I was telling that so Right to Education Act that so economic stability is very, very important. Now you see, even in ashram setup also today, if there is no funds here, if there is no prasadam, then you will all blame me and run away. Sorry to say, you are all very dedicated people. This is not there, that is not there, this is not there, that is not there. Start grumbling will immediately start. So economic stability is very, very important. Ideally it should not be like that. In fact, a disciple should maintain the guru. I am not guru, but they should maintain the guru. They should go out and beg and bring. Right or not? So, but still, because we have this institutional structure which makes that the guy who is in who is on leadership position, he has to run around like a dog here and there. And but otherwise, what is that? Actually, guru should be served by disciples. Not that a guru will, you know, in one sense, it is ultimately guru is maintaining it. Because of him, we are getting. Right or not? He is teaching us dharma like that. Anyway, so all these things, points are there. So coming to point is that I am just giving on ashram level how economic instability can disturb the situation. So like that, In Arthashastra, there is lots of discussion about it in Chanakya's Arthashastra. What will happen to the country if there is economic instability? That is why, you know, these guys, they don't have idea that Vedic culture can give economic stability. Therefore, they are into industrialization, so much drive for industrialization and modernization. And globalization, commercialization, allization, mission. So why is like that? Because this is an issue, you know, right? So what if these citizens will eat next day? What animals will eat? What will happen? The question comes immediately. Somehow or other, maintain economic stability, whatever hook or crook, that is what they are doing. So anyway, coming to the point that, so therefore, if there are no boys, previously what happened? This mass education was not there. And Vaishya children will immediately, as soon as they are at the age of 5, immediately they will take charge of the cows. Just like Krishna, at the age of 5, he took charge of cows. And at the age of 6, he took charge of cows. He was maintaining 9 lakh cows of Nanda Maharaj. Can you imagine? So, now all these kids who are supposed to do all these services in the society, they are putting them into this mass education and training them to be laborers for it. It is not that mass education is giving better alternative than this. So, they are making them Shudras, even below these Vaishyas. Shudras to be, that too, they are not Shudras, we cannot call them Shudras. Why? Because they are supporting, Shudra support, the dharma of Shudra is to support higher classes within Varnashrama. So they support Varnashram Dharma. Shudras, the present day Shudras, they are not supporting Varnashram Dharma. They are adharmic, they are asuric. They are part of asuric civilization. So in this way, so they cannot fit even into Shudra of Vedic paradigm. So they are outside. They are demons actually. So their children are trained to be how to be a first class demon, sir. Fourth class demons, not first class demons. First class demons are different rascals. They are scientists and politicians and all. So fourth class demons they are trained to be. That is that we can say. So children are amazing thing, one point I often tell that our devotees, what they are doing? They are begetting children. Nowadays begetting children is also very costly, it is. Begetting children and putting, you know, with a lot of trouble bringing the children up, growing them and putting them in schools, and they are paying high fees for that, so that their children should be trained as a fourth class demons. This is the society, you see. This is the condition of the society, presently now. So, that's why it's not a better situation. So, the right to act education. Of course, now you may say, practically if you see Right to Education Act is not effective till now. Although 2001 that was sanctioned. Till now it is not effective. So, because government doesn't have resources and infrastructure to implement that. What is the stumbling block then for establishing Varnashrama? Mass education, this school business is going on side by side. According to Right to Education Act, that school business should stop. Because Right to Education Act says, from the age 6 to 14, the child should get a free primary education. That is the Right to Education Act. Free. Now it is not free, right or not? Because of this education business, you know, business, I am using the term. Understand? See, when I use the terms, you have to try to understand what I am saying. So there is a lot of sense behind that. So because of this educational business, which is there presently very prevalent in society. So it is also against Right to Education Act. If Right to Education Act has to be implemented, all this business has to stop. So because of this very, big business of, we are not able to implement Varnashram Dharma. Then why we are again, why we want to make agitation against Right to Education Act? Our agitation should be towards mass education or this educational business, right? Now, you understand? There are private businessmen who are running schools all over the country. That has nothing to do with a government. They are all private business companies, we can call, organizations. Right or not? What was your school? Chaitanya Techno School, Chaitanya Model School.
Cambridge
School. So all kinds of...
Cambridge School.
Cambridge? It is connected to Cambridge? Connected? All these companies are there, organizations are there, business organizations. In Kali Yuga it is told, three things in Vedic society were free, and they are the most money production businesses now. Money producing businesses. Which are,
Food, education. School.
Food and justice.
Food, education and?
Justice.
Justice. And you can include hospitals also.
Medical.
Hospitals. Hospitals also, medicine was also free, in Vedic culture. Why only three? We can make it as four, actually. So, these are big money-making businesses there in Kali Yuga. This is modern education, you see. So, in the future, if you don't want to take part in Varnashram Dharma, you all can plan like that. To start some business like this. Just you need some money, hire some teachers and advertise. Open, build the nation, build the career, future! Like that. Don't worry about your future, what you will be doing. We'll all give you ideas, nice ideas. We'll help you also. You don't want to be part of Dharma. You want to become asuric and adharmic, you all have desire to do that. Up to you all, we are open for everything. We'll support you because we took responsibility of bringing you up in the Gurukula. In every way, what to do? Ideally, we should not do that. Because that's what is our point of discussion now, right or not? So why is our agitation is not towards mass education but towards government? Tell me. At least I want, my angle of seeing the things, I want to do educate, mass, this agitation towards towards Right to Education Act, not to towards mass education business. Why is it like that? You already told that, it's here in our, already we discussed that. You have to understand how to confront this mass education, then you will be able to understand this question, answer to this question. How to confront this mass education?
Non-cooperation.
No, you didn't get my question. You see, you didn't get my question. Actually, I told, we want to do right agitation against... coming back to... Still, I will... one more point I want to tell. So, I wrote a mail to Maharaj and other devotees. And Maharaj replied to it. I wrote in the end, I would like to know other thoughts of all the... Maharaj and other devotees on this. I just made a point in the end that in our next meeting, upcoming meeting, we should prioritize our topics of discussion And this should be given first priority, I said. And I want to know about thoughts about on this issue, like that I said, I wrote. Maharaj replied to it. So he says, he started, Priyabhan Prabhu is very much concerned about hearty act. And then he gave a solution for this is to make a mass propaganda against government, against this act, who are opposed to this, against government, with the help of others who are opposed to this act, like that he said. This is first one. And second one is to find out ways to transfer the Gurukulas to Sri Lanka, like that he wrote. Because in Sri Lanka they support, still the government is very supportive of Buddhism. Buddhism is still strong there. Buddhist influences from the time of Ashoka, you know. So, still they respect. If you just go in the public place, anywhere, you know, if you are going on a bus, immediately they will give you sadhu means. Immediately they will give you seat anywhere, everywhere. If you go into the government offices and if you go into the colleges, universities, if you enter the classroom, everyone will stand up. So still there is a lot of... But in the long run, that is also not solution, because same thing happened with Prabhupada also. In the last lecture, Prabhupada started Gurukula and he started Gurukula. Then... In 1976, because of their educational policies in America, it became so difficult for Srila Prabhupada to operate Gurukula. Immediately he shifted it to Vrindavan. He said, shift it to Vrindavan. In India they will support all these things. They are not against all this Gurukula and all. But now in India it is against, according to RT, right or not? So now after 25 years, because 2001 means 25 years, 76 to... You know, to the, in the long run, you know, even Sri Lanka will become different, you know, demonic, right? So we can, unless we really do lot of preaching there and change the government, make Krishna conscious state there before they bring up all these things. Just now it has started preaching there. Of course, preaching started in proper time, but didn't much go on. Preaching is not much established in Sri Lanka. Now our Vasudeva Dutta Prabhu has started one center there. So what we are going to do with this? Why we want to make agitation towards against government but not mass education business? Or you have to understand, to answer this question, you have to understand how to contract mass educational.
Government is only supporting this mass education.
Government is supporting. That is one point. Another point, another important point.
If government stops, then this mass education automatically will get stopped.
Yeah, that's more or less in other words it is. See, to counteract mass education, we have to promote our Gurukulas, right or not? We have to make, you know, start many Gurukulas in a mass way, we have to start Gurukula, right or not?
Government
will be
supporting
mass education. It is not supporting Gurukula education. So we have to make an agitation against the government. Then, if we are allowed to do, you know, Gurukulas in a mass way, then automatically this mass educational business will just collapse. You know, just collapse it all automatically. Because who will study all that rascal nonsense? You know, right or not? Children are unhappy, teachers are also unhappy. Just these businessmen are just running their business. Right? Any children was happy in school, right? So everyone is unhappy, dissatisfied, and parents are unhappy with the education. So immediately it will collapse. That business will close. So therefore we have to make agitation against the government. So my point is, why I am bringing up this example is that if you want to establish dharma, you know, direction of the supreme state of the Lord, here, you know, Prabhupada is telling. So because it is opposed to now laws of the state, you know, then you have to begin with this Gurukula agitation. Right? So Krishna consciousness movement. He was asking me this question. other day. Is there any example of Acharya doing? So if you see how Acharyas, our original Acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were all in Vrindavan, you know, just completely cut off from the world. So later Acharyas took social initiatives. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was part of the government. And because he wanted to bring some dignity for this sampradaya, from a dignified position he preached Krishna consciousness. And next Acharya, he was not part of the government, but he was supportive of government. Supportive of government means this is temporary situation, like first meeting between, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, you know, he says, anyway, today these people are ruling, tomorrow someone else ruling, that is not so important. Krishna consciousness is very important. So, and there was a lot of cooperation between British government and Gaudiya Mata when they opened this Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Mata. So, you know, British has sent a lot of police force for protection in the procession, etc., festival. And later, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur invited the governor of the Bengal, which was the biggest province in British India, so to Mayapur. You can see that those photographs are there, picture, you know, they have put God bless the king, like that it is mentioned. So like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur receiving him and all those things. I think he arranged a meet for them also, I don't remember. You have to cross check in your SPV, yeah. SPV.
It is there.
In SPV it is there? So he arranged for meat and everything he did. Revolutionary Acharya. So overall his cooperation was good. But the implicit in that Krishna consciousness is important. And he himself wanted to establish Varnashrama Bhaktisiddhanta. It was one of the last instructions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he had to establish Daiva Varnashrama. So, and Srila Prabhupada took it on a large scale. So this is one our answer to your question, whether Acharyas support this point. Because we want to establish Varnashrama. And the second thing which I wanted to give was a reason. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did non-cooperation movement, right? Against Chandkazi. And in there, Prabhupada, he gives instructions, his message, not instruction, message to the world. So our all people of the world is that, in the one of the purports in that Chandkazi, you know, non-cooperation against Chandkazi. Prabhupada, he writes there that all the people of the world should come together under the banner of the Hare Krishna movement. And before that he says, most of the governments presently in the world, they are all demons. So now people of the world should come under the banner of Hare Krishna movement and do non-cooperation against all these governments, he says. So now, understand the context there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did he do non-cooperation against Chandkazi? So why did he do? Because Chandkazi was opposing Sankirtan movement. So this is opposition to Sankirtan movement. We want to, these governments, rules, laws are opposite. Like another example, now I was just today morning I was seeing that in the index of mood and mission work book I was, so one of the things Prabhupada writes, there is one whole list of Prabhupada instructions for standards of ISKCON. You know, what should be the standards? There is a whole big section in our book of standards. That can be written, one whole big book written on that, standards for ISKCON. One of the points is that this man and woman mixing as friends is irreligious. So, Krishna conscious movement allows marriage, but it doesn't allow this prostitution in the name of, you know, mixing as friends. Now, if you present all these things, and government has sanctioned that, so some human rights people will in the future, they will do agitation against Hare Krishna movement. You see, these members of the Hare Krishna movement are not allowed to mix freely. It's against human rights. It's the law of the government. In many ways, opposition will come. Actually, those who really understand, if we really want to preach, follow real, genuine Krishna consciousness, so you have to take opposition. You have to take the world, you know, take over, you know, take on the world. Actually. So all these points will come. Now in India, it just got passed, and we didn't raise our voice also. How it is against Indian Vedic culture. So this will destroy Vedic culture. I think, I don't know, Ramdev Baba raised voice against that, I think. So only, and Ramdev just, you know, just like a fly, you know, they just removed him out of the scene, actually. I think they have a rule, I think, if you come to Delhi, we'll just finish you, something like that. So, that is one consideration also. Oh, if government shoots you, they will shoot you. You should be ready for Krishna. But everything should be done in an intelligent way. How to do it? Everything should be. Today I was making strategies, some of the strategies. Recently our Rama Brahma Prabhu wrote on skit again about this RTE Act. He wrote some six-page skit. So, very nicely he has, very nice it is. That skit he has written and sent. So, he wrote that, oh, we will do all this skit everywhere, like that, you know, propaganda. So, that is one strategy, you know, right? There can be many strategies, and the strategies should be planned properly. You know, right? Today morning I was just thinking on that before. I was trying to prepare class, but that is only going on in my mind. Maybe because of my mode of passion and Kshatriya spirit. So I was just thinking how to do all these things. First we have to, within ISKCON we have to ignite the fire actually. If some fire is left in any people, any of the leaders and preachers, I was thinking, oh, we have to do presentation in ICC meeting and all kind of things, you know. First, before that, to go like-minded people who want to establish Varnashrama, you know, all of those leaders, gurus and sannyasis, meet them, discuss all their plans. So, so like that, you know, some strategy here. So, I am thinking, I'll give you some overview. In 2-3 years, we should start this. We should prepare 2-3 years. Like I am telling, no strategy, first ISKCON devotees, like this, we should meet all the people who are opposed to RTE Act. In 2-3 years, we had to. Then only this is preaching, actually. We were also discussing about Kshatriya body within ISKCON. This is Kshatriya body. Kshatriyas will do these things. Under the direction of Brahmanas, who know the how to do everything, you know. What to be done, what is the need of the society, need of the hour, who understand, under their guidance. So we have to do this. And Prabhupada said, Brahmanas in Kshatriya spirit. We should be like that. Not that, oh, I am Brahmana and just peaceful sitting in some calm place. No, we have to be active. When society is going on fire, means we have to do something, you know. So, and side by side, this is one part. So, of course, we have to do that also. Sri Lanka, immediately if some help is required, we have to do that also. That is also, that option is also important, which Maharaj has mentioned. So these two things is one side. And another side is solidifying our gurukulas, you know, with curriculum solid, you know, solid curriculum, and, you know, do it in a big way, more. So within 2-3 years, we have to do this. And for that, we need some strong team of youth, you know. Therefore, VIT preaching should be our target. So, some local, you know, youth also we have to catch. They will also be helpful. So, this is the point. This should be our strategies. Anyway, I am putting all our other things in this Bhakti Shastri. But some practical application of all these things, right or not, just what is the theoretical study means. So, as one has to work in ordinary life by direction of the state, one similarly has to work under the direction of the supreme state of the Lord. What do you mean by this? You know, just Prabhupada is writing like that, or we have to implement all these things in the society or in within our life, right? Okay, somehow we escaped from material society. So few of us, that too, very, you know, count or some brahmacharis, but grahasthas are still in material society. So what about them? They are working under the direction of Vedas? Is IT company writing for, you know, some program for pornography is a internet is under direction of the Lord? It's not there. So we have to, how we are going to do this? How we are going to practically implement this? This purpose of Bhagavad Gita, this teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So this has to be discussed, this has to be understood, this has to be practically implemented. So, at least I am ready. I am convinced. I don't know what about you. I am convinced. Okay, so coming back to 3.15. So, fifth one. Then what is there in the purport after?
Such directions.
Such directions. Before next point is after creating or impregnating the conditioned souls into the womb of the material nature, he gave his directions in the Vedic wisdom as to how such conditioned souls can return home back to Godhead. We should always remember that conditioned souls in the material nature are eager for material enjoyment. But the Vedic directions are so made that one can satisfy one's perverted desires, then return to Godhead, having finished his so-called enjoyment. It is a chance for the conditioned souls to attain liberation. Now you imagine now, if Vedic directions are not implemented and established or followed, what will be the situation of the conditioned souls? You know, they will not attain liberation, and they will not be, what to speak of attaining liberation, even material point. From conventional point of view, they will not be happy yet. So where is the food to eat? Where is the good rest, sleep to eat? Sleep also. Alright, night they are working, night shift. Our Prabhuji came and told me when he came here, he did not get rest in the night because he was working in the night shift. 2 days he took for him to come to normal condition. So where is the sleep? Where is the mating? Divorces are happening, man woman are fighting. They cannot have many children, they cannot have many wives. It is against law, no, to have many wives. Polygamy is not allowed. They say hum do hamare do, they advertise, or one hum de hamare ek, they advertise. You cannot have. I wanted to give those lectures, no? Horrors of family life.
Saksi Maharaj told that I have 4 kids. Who? This BJP MLA Saksi Maharaj, he told that every Hindu should have four kids at least.
He said, huh?
Yeah.
Tell that, what is it? It was opposed.
He told that.
Who is he? Tell us. We are all.
An MLA for BJP.
Which area?
I don't know the place exactly.
Saksi Maharaj?
Yes.
UP, huh? Then?
He told that because normally Islamic people, they procreate more, no? They have that conception. So, but in ours, like, we have already got modern things. So he told the Hindus should procreate more, at least 4 children in every house. So that then this population will grow. But then this was opposed by many. Even this RSS leader, I don't remember his name. He told that may be his concept.
Idiot is, Idiot is,
yeah.
Number
so
one
want
idiot.
Just to save the government, they are opposing these things. Like, even Sushma Swaraj told that Bhagavad Gita should be introduced in every, then
They don't know what is Bhagavad Gita, but that was also opposed. You see, these people have, this present government has some idea of what is what means. They have some idea of culture, Hindu culture and Hinduism. So Varnashrama, some ideas of Varnashrama are there. But one major thing which I was observing recent time, I was discussing with Murari Prabhu also. We had long discussion about all these things, issues in the society now. So, and this Modi made some comment on Ganesha's head, elephant head. Oh, Indians, they knew the science of, what is that?
Replacing
head, like that.
Yeah.
And he got severely criticized from all over the world, actually. Severe criticism. And no one could support with any evidence. No one could help Modi, actually. Of course, I am not a great admirer of Modi, but the point is that there is no intellectual guidance for all these people, you know, these leaders, actually, present-day leaders. There is no... We know all these things, simple things, you know. If you just do little research in Sushutra's Ayurvedic book, he will get all the evidence, actually. We have knowledge, but we are not giving out our message, actually. That is a problem with us. Yeah, ISKCON. They have made it ISKCON as a religion now. It's not any scientific, you know, delineation of the absolute truth, you know. Bhagavatam is Prabhupada says, you know, that scientific presentation and delineation of the absolute truth. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, that is. So we have to do. Why we have to blame others? We have to do, we ourselves. So
in Maharashtra, we have this place called Alandi.
Actually, that is birthplace of that.
Yeah.
Tukaram,
actually,
no? Tukaram.
Yeah. No, some Jnanandi.
Oh, not Tukaram. Mm-hmm.
So, but the good thing about there is that people send their, this workers send their children to get this education in Bhagavad Dharma, but there is total mix up.
Means some culture is there. Culture.
Yeah, some culture. They are ready to give their kids. Like, our ISKCON duties. Like, wherever I am staying, I am telling people actually. Telling an example of Pooja Bihari, and I have taken in the recording, and whatever, every time I tell about him or something, about the Gurukul. So, but such place, that place is also conducive actually. And this Varkari, they send their children. Many are there. If you go in Alandi, you can visit once. You can come to Pune and see.
Yeah.
So lot of this Varkari children, they will see, like, just like how Gurukul is, you know. In fact, the population is more in Alandi also. So, like,
It's a big city now. It is town. Must be
it's
town.
It's like
town.
Yeah, small town. Like Ale or something. Ale is like.
They start that, what is that, their Varkari procession from there, no? Alandi every year, something like that.
So such places we can go and if we can introduce our Gurukul.
Yeah, that all these Pune devotees have to do there.
No, but if somebody comes and inspired, you know?
That we can
have some. One or two of them are there, but then
you can bring those devotees who are inspired to do such kind of projects here. Sometimes they can.
Yeah, one or two are there, at least I know.
Discussion. We can have discussion. After some time, I want to make this Gurukul a little bit bigger. Then I want to, like I was telling about how to discuss with Belgaum devotees also. Some devotees are there in Belgaum who are, they are connected to me very strongly. But I am not good. Revealing all these things to them now presently, because we have to have some good setup, you know, stable brahmachari ashram. It takes some years to establish a stable brahmachari ashram. Some brahmacharis will be coming, some brahmacharis will be going. So stable brahmachari ashram, stable gurukula system, then we can promote it. And side by side, they, all these things, no, fighting with government and all. So we have to launch a war. War against untruth. We have sufficiently waited now. We have to do something now. Before we lose our strength and energy, become weak. Right or not? You have to do all these things, no? In youth. Main thing is we have to be very loyal to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. It is very important. We should not bring our anarthas in between. Because in youth there is always tendency to bring anarthas, you know, hot blood, lust, anger and all those things. That will spoil. We have to do it in a Brahminical way. Under Brahminical way means, Brahminical society means the society where Brahmanas are head. Brahmanas are the direct, ideological directors. That is important, because in youth sometimes, you know, that hot blood off. So, may spoil the thing. Our strategies should be very good, according to Guru Sadhu Shastra. You are enthusiastically showing excitement. I'm observing the. Okay, so here this one, after creating or impregnating the conditioned soul to the into womb of the mother nature, it is indicating to which verse it is this comment, this section of the comment purport. Yajna by performing Krishna consciousness till there. By becoming Krishna conscious. Follow the process of yajna by becoming Krishna conscious. From after creating to up to process of yajna by. It is indicating to which verse? Sahayajna. Sahayajna praja srashtva purovacha prajapati anena prasadisyadvam yeshavo ishtakamaduk. See, this is another quote for that history, yeah? This one. Some words directly, there will not be word history. Some quotes, you know. Some quotes, there will not be directly history word. But if they are past tense, you have to, you know, something historical, you know, past tense, describe it. So that has to be taken. This is basically history of origin of the Vedas, history of how Vedas were given at the time of creation only. And how living entities, human beings were existing from the beginning of the creation. Hidden history of human race. For that this quote. You are getting idea now, both of you, how history should develop, first history topic should develop. Like this many quotes, I'll tell while you know, teaching this. So this section tells the history of human race. And history of Vedas. Vedas were originated at the time of creation, like given by the Lord. So we have to develop this. Bhagavad Gita has so much, you cannot imagine. And we don't know what is there. You know, so our Guru Maharaj often quotes Suvatra Swami Maharaj saying that he often used to say, it seems that we do not know what is there in Bhakti Vedanta purpose. So don't underestimate Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Vedanta purpose. It is very important. So this is how we have to develop, you know, history, our history for kids in Gurukula. In 2-3 years we have to be full pledged nicely. By the time they will grow up to understand all these things also. So next. So what is alternative? Even those who have not followed the Vedic injunctions may adopt the. Now there is no Varnashrama. There are no directions of the Vedas available in practice, I'm talking. So what is alternative? What to do now? Or we did not go through all the Vedic process. What to do now? What to do now, Prabhupada here says. Even those who have not followed the Vedic injunctions may adopt the principles of Krishna consciousness. And that will take place take the place of the performance of Vedic yajnas or karmas. This statement is indicating to one of the verses in the previous chapter, which Krishna spoke. And we presented a sense of following all the Vedic processes to, is to, and Prabhupada quoted one verse from third canto of Bhagavatam there. Previous chapter. You are getting point? You are getting my question first? If you don't get question, you know, you should ask. Even those who have not, now, the last line, this is last line, right, of the purport, because in my notes I keep changing them. Even those who have not followed the Vedic injunctions may adopt the principles of Krishna consciousness, and that will take place of performance of Vedic yajnas or karmas. Now, we don't have varnashrama, we don't have Vedic directions, we don't have brahmanas to recite Vedic hymns, to perform sacrifices. So we don't have first-hand link to this Vedic sacrifices, Vedic directions. So what is the alternative now? Like that Prabhupada is giving alternative here. 2.46. Yavan artha udapane sarvata samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanas. Very good. Very good. Balaram identified it. Very good. And what is that verse which is quoted there? Svapachato gariyan yajjivagre vartate nama tubhyam te pustapah juhu shashnurarya brahmana charan nama grananti ete. So, read the translation of that verse.
Oh my lord, a person who is chanting your holy name, although born of a low family like that of a chandala dhamita, he is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penance and sacrifice according to Vedic rituals and studied the Vedic literature many times. After taking part in holy places of pilgrimage, such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan family.
Okay. See, every line of Srila Prabhupada would be from some shastra. I know, right? It is. So I skipped some portion of this. There is a Krishna says, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. We discussed that now elaborately. That is an elaborate discussion. Brahmakshara samudvam. From where Vedic directions come. Right? From where Vedic directions come. So Vedic directions come from Krishna. Akshara. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. Brahma, Vedic directions or Vedic hymns, Vedas, they come from, they are born of Akshara. Akshara means Transcendental Lord. So Transcendental Lord is also addressed here as with two names. One is Akshara, another is Brahma. So Brahmakshara samudbhavam. So this is stated in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam yetad yad rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tarvangirasaha. The four Vedas, namely the Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda, are all emanations from breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, what to speak of, they are born of it is told in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Vedas are not coming, not only they are coming from the Lord, but in fact they are another form of the Lord. So Veda pranahito dharmo adharmastad viparya Vedo Narayana Sakshat. Sakshat Narayana. I wanted to quote another verse for this. How they are another form of the Lord. I will give you in the evening when I come. The exact another verse is there. Another verse says about that how Vedic hymns are and Krishna's names are another form of the Lord. There is one verse which says So there Prabhupada, he quotes that this verse also. Just as Lord, they are breathings of the Lord, he says, and just Lord is eternal, and the Vedas are also eternal, he says. Now you see the point. They are coming from Lord, but still they are eternal. Just like Jivas are coming from the Lord, but still they are eternal. Because Lord's breathing is eternal, he says. So Vedas are apaurushaya, eternal they are. They are not created, Vedas. One of the meaning of transcendental. Why they are Vedas are called transcendental sound? Why they are transcendental? Because they are not created. They are eternal. Or they are coming from transcendental source. Vedas. They are not human beings written. One time I went into one office, one government officer, that rascal, he was telling me. I was talking about Bhagavad Gita. No. He just told, what is your, why you are all doing all this thing? What is the purpose, your people purpose? Then, what you all do like that, he asked. We chant Hare Krishna 16. And then he asked, you will not get married? No, those who have taken this, they are dedicated. So they will not get married. So, but I did not complete. I wanted to say that we are not against marriage as such. We are. Then immediately, what about sex life? Immediately he said. And then I said, sex life is, according to Bhagavad Gita, sex life is a bodily necessity of life. I said. It's a demand of the body. So we can remain without that. So why you believe in Bhagavad Gita? Someone wrote it. Somebody has written it, some ordinary human being like us. Why you are believing it? Then I challenged him. Then you write another book like Bhagavad Gita, I said. Then we'll discuss about it. So, most of the people, all these, you know, in modern historians and academic scholars, they don't know that these are given by, you know, especially because of this Aryan invasion theory which I was discussing. So we'll discuss that in fourth chapter also a little bit, Aryan invasion theory. So because of Aryan invasion theory, these idiot rascals, they say that all these Vedic literatures, they come from just some 3,500 years ago, they have come. So, and most of the people, and I was seeing one book written by one Indian scholar refuting Western academic scholars on Ramayana, how they misinterpret and all those things, you know. He has refuted line by line, many of the scholars, how they have misinterpreted. Then he himself is struggling with the same problem what he is pointing to. You know how? He says that this Valmiki Ramayana, which was written over 2000 years, he says. Over 2000 years ago. What is the meaning of that? That means these guys are all influenced by this. Aryan invasion theory. This is just written all this Vedic literature, they give some, you know, name. Now, I don't know about this author, whether he wanted to present it like in an academic way or something, but he is refuting academic scholars. Why he has to, again, it is just like that dancing girl putting a veil on her head. Why you want to show yourself as, that may be one problem. He may wanted to show that I am also academic. I believe only academic evidence that it is 2000 year old. So that is dancing girl case, that is a problem. Then second problem is that by saying that according to Ramayana itself, Valmiki was present when Ramayana was going on. That means Lord Rama was performing his pastimes, right? According to Ramayana itself. You know that, no? It's clear, no? From Ramayana, it is evident, no? That Valmiki was writing that Ramayana when Lord Rama was performing his pastimes, right? He taught it to Lavakusha. Lavakusha went and recited that in front of Lord Rama. So, you all know that, right? So, it is evident. Now, when did Lord Rama perform these pastimes? So, To discuss this point, we come to many other points actually. Other points have to be. Either this author, this Indian scholar, he considers this Ramayana as mythology, that it never happened. It is just poetical imagination. This is one point. Although he dedicated the book to our divine mother and father, Rama and Sita, he considers them to be mythology. If he doesn't consider it to be mythology, then also he mars or betrays Valmiki existing, you know, while Ramayana was being happening, you know, happening. So all these issues come. Or that Valmiki Valmiki who is described in Ramayana is different than the author Valmiki. So all these points will come up, right or not, from this. If you say that this was written over 2000 years ago, this poem was. Now over 2000 means it can be 9 lakh years also. But there is difference. You cannot say 9 lakh years, 2000. There is lot of difference between 9 lakh and 2000. Why I am taking 9 lakh? Because Ramayana happened before 9 lakh years. You know, Dwapara Yuga was 864,000 years. First, now Kali Yuga 5,000 years. So it is 870,000 years. But then before in Kali Yuga, Treta Yuga, if you trace out, it is at least before 9 lakh years. According to Vedic astronomical calculations of the Yugas, then you have to give evidence about Yugas, how to, you know, calculate when this happened, you know, right or not. So this Indian academic scholars also, they have some cultural, he has done good job of refuting this Western scholar, academic scholars, but they are also suffering from the same problem which they are talking about. So this Aryan invasion theory is a bogus act. So in this way, these Vedas are apaurushaya. Their apaurushayatva has to be established. They are not written by human beings. They are not poetical. They are not mythology. They are not poetical imaginations. They are not mythical, these personalities who are described in the Vedic literature. They are histories. So this is one of the challenges which we have to take on. So Vedas are eternal. They are not just 2-3 thousand years old. So are they are mythology. They are apaurushaya, Veda apaurushaya. Okay. So now someone may think that this idiot guy, this Subramanyam Swami, he was telling one politician, big politician in India. So previously he was Congress, then he became opposed to Congress. I don't know whether he is now BJP or I don't know. I am not following up. So he he appealed to Supreme Court that we have to make some law for resolution for protecting this bridge which was built by Lord Rama, like that he made. Because many of them, they made a point that, oh, that is causing obstruction for ships and all, to for shipping and all those things. So they wanted to destroy that or something like that. Then he made an appeal to Supreme Court, and commenting on that, Karunanidhi, he told that this is all nonsense. Where did Rama build this, all this thing? Where did he go to study engineering to build this bridge, like that he made a comment. So Karunanidhi. Then Subramanian Swami recently, he was telling that, why I am telling about Subramanian Swami, recently Mara sent one link to his some lectures which he gave in JNU on Vedic economy. Actually, JNU means Jawaharlal Nehru University, which is the main left-wing hotbed in India, left-wing communists. So communist means, especially here, meant don't put in the mouth. So who wants to promote this equal rights, human rights and all kind of things. Basically anti-Vedic. scholars are there in Delhi. That is one that should be one of our target, actually. Preaching target, intellectual preaching target. To smash all this nonsense there. And nonsense people there, actually. You must be knowing Jain. So you are from Delhi. So coming to the point that what I was saying was Hare Krishna. What happened? Okay, go and come. So many want to go? I'll just finish. If you want to go and go, come. If you use too much, you go and come. But because I cannot give gap now, because I want to, I'm not going to take long class now. So go and come. So coming back to the point Vedas are transcendental. Oh yeah, coming. How did this point I was telling Karunanidhi? Where did he go? These rascals, idiot, atheist, they ask a question. Where did he go to study, engineering to build with this bridge? They think they bring God into their level, actually. To build a bridge, they have to go to engineering college. That is another Vedic challenge to all these modern engineering colleges or architectural engineering. That how Indian architecture was so great and amazing and astounding it is. It was Yeozam. So, awesome, Yeozam.
Awesome.
Awesome. Okay. Oh. You have to correct my pronunciation. It is awesome. You can see that all the, so many architectural monuments still, so many temples were built, very great temples. In Hampi, there was a temple where that was Vijaya Vitala temple, which was built by Krishna Devaraya. He was contemporary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Pratap Rudra. So they fought among themselves, Krishna Devaraya and Pratap Rudra, both devotees. So anyway, kings keep fighting. So coming to the point that what I was saying was he built a temple after defeating some Muslims, and therefore he called it as Vijaya Vitala temple. And that temple, such an architectural monument it is. Now of course everything collapsed now, almost nothing is there now. So now all this archaeological department of India has taken over that. So we remember just a few, some 7-8 years back, whenever we went there, still some elements of that great architecture was there. So if you beat the pillars, so different musical notes used to come. Now when we went some 7-8 years back, we used to knock like this and put our ears and we could hear the musical notes. And previously, when it was built, the sound used to go more than 1 kilometer, they said. So, with a different, they will beat with a stick or some. So, different, when puja is going on, they will play that like that, musical notes. So, our dancers will, for the pleasure of the Lord, dancing, dancers will dance and they will play that music. So such a technology it is, such a architecture, it's great. Now these are all lost now. Indian culture, Vedic culture, there is no match to it. So today morning Giridhari Gopinath was telling, in the temple we have put this kind of mats actually. Just even that, that cow dung floor is there, that itself is sufficient here. No need of this also. In fact, this is bringing disgrace to that floor yesterday. So, there is no match to it. I was telling, yesterday I thought, yesterday night I came here, everyone is complaining it is too hot here. And then we had some discussion about pump, water pump. We are using from their same place, we are taking out water for cooking and puja. and we are taking the same water for pumping, you know, going and after passing stool we are going and pumping, touching or washing our plates there. So all this simple living is becoming too much strainful, you know, right or not, how to organize and this whole building which is just not suitable, you know. We are staying here, brahmacharis are staying, you know, gurukuli boys, brahmacharis are staying here, toilets are there, no water is there, some strange ideas just neither in Varnashrama nor in modern, we are just modern. It's just, no, it creates a lot of strain for me actually, how to, you know, organize this whole thing. It's so much mental stress for me actually. So I was just thinking yesterday night, what is this? And then today morning when he told, immediately thought came, oh, whatever it is, we have to establish this Vedic culture. Let's put more human resource, you know, and do the things, you know. It's a great culture, I thought. So, we have to do these things. Let it take time, let it take peacefully, you know. Main thing is we have to become peaceful and loyal to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Then everything will manifest. Understand Prabhupada's mission. Basically loyal to Srila Prabhupada. So everything will manifest. Everything will manifest. We have to make our mind peaceful. Rajas Tamas will bring disturbance. In hurry, get disturbed and run away from here. I just forget it all. I'll change the whole direction of the. Okay, so unless there is higher intervention that, because there is also talk about research center. Research center means we may have to have electricity for researching, you know, everything is in internet nowadays, you know. So that is another issue. We may have to have computers for writing, publication and some technology, you know, printing and all those things. We don't know how the things will change. But we are for Vedic culture. So, why I am telling this? That these guys, atheists, they will bring God into their level. They may question, how can someone breathe out the Vedas? This is the part which I wanted to discuss. Why I brought Karunanidhi issue. So, how can one breathe out the Vedas? When we breathe, some bad smell comes, right? Right, na? Doesn't come, someone is trying there behind. So when we breathe, but when Lord breathes out, Vedic hymns come. What a great thing, no? What an amazing thing about Lord. What a amazing he is, right? His personality is. So when he breathes out, Vedic hymns come, you know. So you can imagine, some ancient Brahmanas used to, if you must have heard sometimes, you must have heard in the maybe one recordings also, audios. So how it creates some kind of great nice vibration and very beautiful vibration. Even our own Bhagavad Gita recitation, right? Like that day Brahma Samhita and all they recite. And Harinam Sankirtan. You see, imagine these Vedic hymns are coming out from the breathing of the Lord. Right? So many ways. In different ways it happens. Sometime Lord plays on his flute. From that flute, that sound, from the holes of that flute, in the form of sound, Gayatri Devi comes and enters into the heart of Brahma. You know, ears of Brahma. And then she goes into the heart of, you know, Brahma. And Brahma gets enlightened with Vedic knowledge. So Gayatri is the original mantra. Basically, she is the sound of Krishna's flute. It's non-different from Hare Krishna mantra. So we should not get confused that, oh, Hare Krishna mantra is the original mantra of all Vedas. It is fact, both are same, no? Sound coming from the Lord's flute. So in this way we see that Krishna is playing on his, this is how Vedic knowledge comes, Vedic hymns come, and then Brahma speaks, recites them to his disciples, the first Brahmana. And then his disciples memorize that and then they distribute this knowledge throughout the creation. So now they may say, Prabhupada here he gives the logic behind that. Lord's breathing out the Vedas. The Lord being omnipotent can speak by breathing air. For as it is confirmed in Brahma Samhita, the Lord has omnipotence to perform through each of his senses, the actions of all other senses. What is the verse in Brahma Samhitas? Gani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashanti pati kalayanti chiram jagati ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. He can perform any activities from any senses. All his senses are completely perfect. He can eat by glancing. Some idiot has again atheist. You are this Kabir. In North India, very famous. Kabir ki dohe. He was such a atheist rascal. He was talking about this karma kanda process. He was anti-Vedic basically. So, no, in modern academic scholars, they make him as one of the prophets of bhakti movement. In North India, he spread bhakti movement, he says. What bhakti he is told. He being against Vedas, and he talks what bhakti he will talk about. Huh? He wrote some bhakti dohes also? Or just normal moral? No. His dohes are some are all bhakti, atheistic. Devotional?
Atheistic
only, purely. Oh. Anyway.
Moral.
So, you know that guy, how he, this Pindadan is there, right? You offer Pinda to forefathers. You know what he said? I will throw water and you are asking water on my first terrace. How you will get water if I throw here like that? He refutes that Pindadan. You know, this is Vedic, one of the Vedic process given in the Vedas. That means he is blaspheming Vedas, right or not? So, anyway, coming to the point that, so these fellows, they do not know that how Lord can, many atheists say that you are offering boga to the Lord, everything is same. Why? What is the meaning of why you are offering to this stone statue like that? This. They do not know that the eating means they have to eat these, how these hawks eat. They think that is only eating. Two-legged hawks. Right. We have to smash them like that. You hawks. Lord doesn't have to be like you all. He can eat just by glancing. Just by glancing. Is so powerful, is all his senses. This verse we sing, no, every morning. Angani, yasya, sakalendri, avratim, pashanti, panti, like that we sing in the morning every day. So this is the Lord. And Prabhupada here is giving, what example he is giving? He can breathe out, he can speak by breathing air. This is, he doesn't have to open mouth and make sound. Just by air only he can, breathing only he can speak out. For it is confirmed in his omnipresence through the ear, each of his senses actions. In other words, Lord can speak through his breathing. He can impregnate by his eyes. This is how creation took place. This is Vedic cosmology. Not by Big Bang. Vedic cosmology. Origin, universe did not come by bang. It came by vision. Or Bhakti Swarupa Damodar Maharaj said, big vision theory like that. It's not theory, it is fact. So it is by impregnation. By his sight. There is a verse in Chandogya Upanishad, I think. Sa aikshata, sa ijjata, he says. It is told. By glancing, he procreates. In fact, it is said that he glanced over material nature and thus fathered all living entities. After creating, then it continues. We have discussed that. Are impregnated. The conditioned souls. Okay, so we'll start here. So I will state immediately after lunch I will take. Now I will give you gap. So we'll continue the next verse. We'll take a next verse also. I don't have to explain much in the next verse. I have some homework to give for you. I have given you some homework. You do this chat and all. So do that. So text 16. Evam pravartitam chakram nano vartayatiya agayurindriya ramo mogam bhatas jitvati. My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. This is already told. He eats sin only like that in relation with eating. in a broad sense it is told here. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. His life is just mogam pata sajivati. His just life is defeated, it is waste of his life. His only qualification of being human being is that he has two legs, that's all. Nothing else. Otherwise, it's just waste of human life. One who does not perform sacrifice. So here, chakram word is used, the cycle of sacrifice. Cycle of sacrifice. In this section, from 10th verse to 16th verse, two cycles are described. So you can make those two cycles. That is homework. So chakram, you know, chakram means cycle, no? So two cycles are described. Both the cycles you can make. If you just read the verses and translation, you will come to. Okay, simple it is. So read the translation. Purport. Little fast, huh?
The monist philosophy of work very hard and enjoy sense gratification is condemned herein by the Lord.
So that is nonsense, you know. Word, you know, sense work hard. This is karma mimams, karma mimamsas, they do perform sacrifices, but they have little different, especially this work is worship and all, bogus. Yeah.
Therefore, for those who want to enjoy this material world, the above mentioned cycle of performing yajnas is absolutely necessary. One who does not follow such regulations is living a very risky life, being condemned more and more. By nature's law, this human form of life is specifically meant for self-realization in either of the three ways, namely karma yoga, jnana yoga, or bhakti yoga. There is no necessity of rigidly following the performances of the prescribed yajnas for the transcendentalists who are above vice and virtue. But those who are engaged in sense gratification require purification by the above mentioned cycle of yajna performances.
So this is indicating to next verse. Next verse it will become clarified. For whom the sacrifice is required. Not required, sorry. So this will be clear. We'll discuss that in the next verse.
There are different kinds of activities. Those who are not Krishna conscious are certainly engaged in sensory consciousness. Therefore, they need to execute pious work. The yajna system is planned in such a way that sensory conscious persons may satisfy their desires without becoming entangled in the reaction of sense gratificatory work. The prosperity of the world depends not on our efforts but on the background arrangement of the Supreme Lord, directly carried out by the demigods. Therefore, the yajnas are directly aimed at the particular demigods mentioned in the Vedas. Indirectly, it is the practice of Krishna consciousness, because when one masters the performance of yajnas, one is sure to become Krishna conscious. But if by performing yajnas one does not become Krishna conscious, such principles are counted as only moral codes. One should not therefore limit his progress only to the point of moral codes, but should transcend them to attain Krishna consciousness.
This is discussed in previous. Okay, so we will continue the next section in the afternoon. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh, you have questions, huh? I'll just take 5 minutes, huh? Okay.
This is saying the ironing is very that ironing is the key of the
might is right or whatever. It is being taught. We are not making propaganda against that in the schools, everywhere, in the universities. It is just going on. Everyone just studies like a lamb. We have to bring out all these points. But for that, they will demand archaeological evidence that it is 10 BC. No? It is there, archaeological
evidence?
Chola dynasty. Chola dynasty was not 10,000 BC. 10 BC.
After
10 BC. 10 BC is it is within 3500 years, no? 10 BC is within 3500 years, no?
So means how they were so much advanced at that time that they made such temples, huge temples?
That was 1000 after 1500. It is 1500 years after the Aryan invasion happened, no? According to Advaita Nirvijan theory, that these construction and all happened after 1500 years, right? Means what?
Still know that at 1500, how they will become so much advanced? Now they are technologically advanced. Now also they cannot make such things.
Yeah, that's why again you are degraded. So therefore, to go within short time, we want to make you progress within 200. That's why they made us so much progress within 200 years. By again coming and teaching. In 200 years they made you so much progress. Why not 1500 years? Right? Now it is so much progress, no? All there from progress to good fruits and grains and milk to the stool and urine. From nice what is that they used to eat in golden plate, now they don't have eating in plastic plates. Their progress they are showing, you know, right? Yeah, this has to be broken. Main argument is parampara. Parampara is very logical, very argumentative. You see, we have unbroken chain of disciplic succession, and these acharyas and all, they didn't tell this. So 3000 years back they came and taught. So Krishna has not told that in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is existing 20 lakh years. These are very strong arguments. No one can refute this. We have to give these arguments. Because we are not promoted Bhagavad Gita, therefore these ideas, you know, all these idiot nonsense things are going on in the society. We have to teach Bhagavad Gita as it is. This Bhagavad Gita points, you know. Society. Bhagavad Gita is a very powerful book to break all this bogus theory there. Right, you are getting idea all these things, how? Why they make so much sound? They should be calmed down. Mode of goodness means no sound. Shanti, shanti, shanti. It has reduced now considerably because previously our Maharati Gurukula teachers were there, they used to shout like something. And children also will shout, bang the doors, sneaky door, banging door, everything. Anything else? No, no questions. Okay.
This,
not equivalent, I said. That is there in the Hare Krishna Mantra. Krishna's name, no, it is. Gayatri Mantra came from Krishna. And Hare Krishna Mantra is Krishna himself. What that is?
Some confusion about Gayatri Mantra. Because outside, there is a lot of propaganda to chant the Gayatri Mantra.
That is anyway towards Vedic Brahmanism, it is. In India, they have promoted it. It is, there must have been, it was there, it is there also. Because you see that many of the smarta brahmanas say that if you have to become brahmana, you have to take birth, you have to change your body, take birth in brahmana family, from a brahmana mother and father, then only you can be a brahmana like that. They have exploited brahmanism, the principle of brahmanism. But these guys, other guys, all this Ambedkar and group, they wanted to do revolution against, agitation against this Brahminical society in India. Therefore, they envy Brahmanas and why only Brahmanas should chant Gayatri Mantra? Everyone should chant like that. They made it. They opened the floodgates in English to say yes. So now they have made a recording of that and promoting it for business. Business people also used, understood the psychology behind all these people. Singers, business people, everyone took part in that. Spoiling the Indian culture altogether, including the Brahmanas themselves.
So coming back to the point, why? That is all because of envy of Brahminism. Yeah.
So one of my relatives was telling that we can chant Gayatri Mantra because...
Are your relatives, they are so much meat eaters. Rascals they are. They are all Rakshasas. What do you want to chant? Tell it, first you become human being from Rakshasa, then we'll talk about it. Then whatever.
Explaining that it needs to follow some rules and regulations, and you have to have some grammatical platform to chant that.
First you chant Hare Krishna, then you will become human being. And again to chant Hare Krishna better, you can chant Gayatri Mantra. That is the point. Why we chant Gayatri Mantra? To situate ourselves in mode of goodness, so that we can chant Hare Krishna better. That is the purpose of chanting Gayatri among devotees. That is one reason. Another reason is that how devotees are Brahmanas, best Brahmanas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to show it to the world. That is another reason why we chant Gayatri Mantra. To show it to world, not world, to smarter Brahmanas. Guys, they say that we are only Brahmanas who have taken birth in. See, devotees are also Brahmanas. They can also chant Gayatri Mantra. We hope that devotees chant Gayatri Mantra. Because often they chant... when they are chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, they chant different mantra, non Hare Krishna Mantra. Now Gayatri Mantra is chanted within, we don't know what mantra we are chanting. Right? Kiss, 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 nam, nam, re. Like that, Gayatri Mantra also, they must have made some alteration. Okay. Anything else?
There are different kinds of Gayatri also.
Yeah, we chant 8 mantras. 7 mantras or 8 mantras we chant? Gilgavi?
7.
Guru Gayatri, Gaura Gayatri, Kama Gayatri. And Gopal mantra. Like that many mantras are there. And that is Brahma Gayatri, which is popular. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.